Ever wish that you could take the mystery out of search engine results? Well, now you can. Discover how you can dominate the first three pages of Google with Key Difference Media. Go to keydifferencemedia.com/dominate. Content marketing unlocked.
Well, hi, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the 40 Leverage Radio Show. This is where we take the movers and shakers of the emerging economy and we amplify them through content marketing, but at the same time, give you an inside look at how we are moving content marketing forward and moving forward with it at the same time. It's pretty amazing. The way for content marketing the process for content marketing amongst those who do content marketing is like a big wave. It's like everybody gets on the same level. We're all asking the same questions. I think that's the way. And the wave is made up of everybody that answers those questions the same way. They may have a different perspective on it, but they are all basically saying the same thing. And then there's the crest of the wave. There's the splash that's, you know, going out before the wave. There's that white foam that's starting to disrupt everything. And that's us. Because somebody told me this week, they say, you're asking all the same questions as all these other podcasts, but you're answering them in totally different ways. And I think that's the uniqueness of what we bring, and that's really the crux of what gives us the ability to not only present different ways to have leverage, but present them in a way that they would be not only acceptable, but powerful, maybe even more so, as the economy and as technology and things around us continue to unfold. That's kind of the grain that we set ourselves in. So I am here today with my co-host. I've got Key on the line, Karnika Yashwan of Key Difference Media. Sir, good morning, good evening. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm excited with all that's happening right now in my life.
It is absolutely phenomenal on many levels. You're right. And I have Samantha Sweetwater here with us. Samantha, you are an embodied leadership trainer, an executive coach, and an evolutionary culture coder, and you manage aspects of regenerative and sustainable ideas around business in such a way. I'm so happy to have you on the show this morning. It feels like Monday morning, like a bright and chipper Monday morning. I don't know why. Maybe because you're calling in. But how are you?
I'm great. I want to welcome our listeners. I'm just so excited about this conversation and where it's going to provide people better tools to make evolutionary impacts in the marketplace. You know, the way I look at it is that marketing is actually the most dominant discourse on the planet. It's the most dominant conversation. It's a conversation that we swim in and don't even notice a lot of the time. It's like the fabric of the discursive thread in our world. And so I'm just so excited about applying these tools to evolutionary businesses and culture coders and culture creators and the holistic marketplace, as well as to the new economy. And it's joyful for me to be here with you guys today. Thank you.
And you're rocking San Francisco today, right?
I'm in the hills of the East Bay of the San Francisco Bay Area, looking over gorgeous green hills covered in fog with birds and roses, and it's absolutely beautiful here.
Awesome. I can smell it from here. Love the city. Awesome. Thank you. All right. Well, today, and I put in the show notes a very brief description that presented from three different views, a holistic, content-driven, and evolutionary perspective. This show today is going to seek to look at content and how it's becoming a major player in the shaping of our future. And I mean, content is really starting to take center stage. In a subversive way, in a way that a lot of people don't have the ability to wrangle it and actually leverage it yet, so they are not as excited or maybe not as embraced, or maybe they just don't know that they have that power or the ability, you know, how to make that happen. So they haven't embraced it as much, but as we're watching the industry and things happening around it, and Key can speak to a few of these things, that content is becoming the most relative thing because it's where we have the most pliability. Everything else, I mean, this is my perspective. This is how I look at it, all right? Ready? You ready to go jump off some mushrooms and go through some little holes in the ground? Yes, because me, I'm a rabbit trail guy. But I see it as this, I see it as the pliable end of a very rigid, becoming rigid system otherwise. I mean, you have the major players on the search engines. You have social media set up. You have a whole lot of kind of construction that you have to set up in order to engage people out there on the web. And then at the very end of that is your voice, your content. And that's the pliable part. And you can literally take content and your ideas and put the two together and create an extension of yourself, your passion, and all of that in a much larger way across the web, and even more so. And as Google tunes their search engines to better understand us as people, it seems that this content and the story that flows from this content and the congruity between all the pieces of content on the web, I believe that in some sense, Google looks at it in its total congruity, the brand, the links, everything, and analyzes an aspect of that as if analyzing a personality to determine how relative that's going to be to the person that's doing the searches. And this is where that artificial intelligence and things like that come in. Karnika, speak to that aspect of it. Everything, just for a moment, tell us how content is, in your mind, just really giving us some powerful ways to express our voice at levels that we never could before.
Right. So right now, Google's algorithm is changing. I mean, last month, if you have noticed, Google has even removed the ads in the sidebar, and they're pushing all the organic results down, and right now it has become more harder for people to be visible out there. So the way the content is evolving is it's been used everywhere. If it's, you know, content in the past has been something that people used to sell, but right now content is not something that you sell. Knowledge is not valuable with money, but it is usually given out for free to establish authority and thought leadership. So that, with that trend happening, with the competition in the market increasing, people are trying to come up with all new ways through which they can produce content in the shortest and easiest ways possible. But the big search engines and all these platforms do not want that happening. They do not want the content diluted. So they are making it harder for everyone. They're demanding very high levels of quality. They are demanding very high standards of value being provided through that. And that is putting a lot of people in risk. That's filtering out a lot of content creators. Real content which can raise good engagement, which can fairly do well in the organic world. If the content is properly structured and it's ready to be shared and seen in the right places, that has a longer lifespan. But everything else, it is going to be fading off soon. And using any other modes of marketing online, it's either going to be too expensive or it's going to be inconsistent. And the only way businesses can these days sustain is by focusing solely on how they're going to organize their content to be visible in the search engines and social media, not from a short-term perspective, but from a real long-term perspective. Because if you're trying to just do search engine optimization to get on to top, right now, even if you're on the very first result, you're actually on the fifth result because there are four ads on the top. Out of 10 organic in the page, there are 17 results, 7 paid ads and 10 organic results. And the organic results are starting somewhere from the half of the page on competitive keywords. Of course, on the long tails, you don't have to face that. On long tails, you're going to appear on the top. But still, that's easily achievable through content marketing than any other modes. It's very hard. If someone understands this, they're going to phrase it very hard to do a search engine optimization campaign using tens and thousands of long-tail keywords. That is a massive campaign for them. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of money. But if the same process is executed through content marketing, up in 5,000, 10,000 long-tail keywords is not as big and as hard as what it would be in other modes of search engine optimization and such. So, yes, the way the content is evolving, it needs to be adopted in all stages in business, not just for bringing in leads, but for nurturing leads, for converting the clients, for educating the clients, for upselling them, for retaining them with us for a longer period of time, for building the loyalty. anything as part of the buying cycle or loyalty cycle or retention cycle, content is the soul and the structure through which you can run and sustain your business. So that's my perspective right now.
That's awesome. It's so deep and so rigid. I mean, you have such a firm grasp on kind of all these pieces, and it allows for us to start unfolding what's going to happen in our daily lives. I mean, Samantha, I think about the idea of moving forward and companies starting to embrace their purpose in the world, their purpose, you know, for good and to give back, and this idea of regenerative processes that lead to an evolutionary result, as you represent. Content in itself, Karnika, the biggest thing I pulled from what you just said there is us clients backing up and recognizing what in the world it is they're doing with that content and really understanding the end game of what they want that content to do so that they can come all the way back to, Samantha, what we call that narrative, right? Because every company, every perspective, if you're really trying to do something breakthrough, breakout, you've got to be able to attack that with a lot of intent and a lot of purpose. And I think that starts back as far as the narrative, maybe even further back.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly goes back to identifying the soul of your company, identifying the soul of your mission, of your purpose, and creating content that serves real people, that's actually really, and real needs, that's really listening not just to, like, what you can sell, but what the ecosystem needs. I think we're living in a time when we're going to see very rapid shifts in how our economy functions. I mean, we are living in a time when we're seeing rapid shifts. And increasingly, things that don't reach towards a better future for people and planet are not going to thrive. The future of the economy is both purpose-driven and it has regenerative metrics. It has metrics that actually serve long-term resiliency and thriving. So, you know, I find that very exciting. I find it kind of, it's so amazing listening to Mr. Key, to Karnika, because Karnika, you are so on the pulse of exactly what's happening in a world where most business owners, and I would include myself in that, are a little bit mystified of, like, how is this happening? And you're dialing in the moment-by-moment ways in which the operational structure of the marketplace is shifting and how to surf the edge of that. You know, for very high quality content, where I get really excited about that is I personally have an agenda to bring forward the businesses, initiatives, nonprofits, and individual thought leaders who are helping to define that growing edge of the regenerative marketplace.
The regenerative marketplace, also heard of as the evolved enterprise. I mean, it's becoming this footprint that, or blueprint that companies more and more are finding themselves forming around, simply because at the end of the day, it's more profitable. It generates more bottom line profits, and we could sit here and break down the millions of different reasons why that probably works. But that basic law of reciprocity just really gets to play out in this kind of an infrastructure. Now, as we move forward, there's different segments of people and different that you work with, Samantha, as well as us, who are doing elements of some of them are training. Some of them are teaching these ideas, these strategies. Some of them are bringing research and other new technologies to this party, if you will, to make this happen. Others are creating their own kind of infrastructure. Some are just creating new products and new services. But it always aches me when I hear of a new startup business online or whatever the case may be in this day and age, like for the last 12 months up to, you know, probably the next few years, as we are in a transition that there are only a few voices out there making this noise, you see people starting up in what I call a 3D mode. They're starting up in the mode that everybody is kind of finishing up with right now. A lot of people are standing on the edge of all of this, kind of going, all right, what's coming next? I know the whole internet marketing world, you know, it's really flattened out all the training and everything. is now people are having to add that training to a very significant done-for-you service to make it have some value. And it still has value, but so many, you know, the market's saturated, bottom line. So content now can show up in all kinds of different forms. I mean, it can literally mutate. And we've probably talked about this before, but Karnika, what are some things that you can do with content marketing that are different, that are strategic, that allow a business to be able to say, okay, I'm entering into a new economy here. A lot of things are shifting. I'm being presented with content marketing as a tool, but not just for telling everybody what I do. I can use this tool in my business to really set myself, if I back all the way up to my message and my who I am and what I'm all about, and I go out there, what are some different ways I can leverage this tool throughout the life cycle of a business, even all the way to the exit strategy?
Right.
How is content that important?
I would like to start a few steps before that to talk about what is happening with the content here. So I'll start with this example. I had a conversation with my client yesterday, and this client is launching a webinar, and this webinar is in a complete, and it's absolutely free for anyone to come and listen. But they don't have an existing audience in place, and they came to me to discuss about using some paid ad strategy to get people to the webinar. And I mean, they almost have the webinar happening in another 10 days, and they have absolutely no audience, and they want to do something about it very hardly and very bad. And we came up with the solution to do it. We worked out on the math. For this competitive niche, it's taking about $50 in paid ad spend in Facebook to get one person live on the webinar. Considering that, you know, let's say three people register, only one would appear on the webinar for this particular new brand. So we are almost ending up with $50 to get someone to visit and view a whole webinar, which is free. So the, you know, webinars in the past, if someone is conducting, people would rush, people would all be in the queue, the registrations would run out, people would be crazy about a free webinar because it's free. It's a big thing. Someone delivering, it was a news back then. But right now, almost every one out of three ads in Facebook, it's either a giveaway of a white paper or a free webinar that's being conducted. And there are all these evergreen webinars running every day. And it is saturated. It's saturated. Creators need to compete for the time. Every user, every guy might probably view one webinar, two webinars, or five webinars in a week. They have their own limitations. When there was only one or two coming up, it was easy. You know, anything that comes up, they were able to pick in. But right now, there are a few hundreds and hundreds of webinars out there. So why would someone come and visit yours? And if you're spending money, or if you're doing any sorts of push towards the webinar, getting people on, how do you leverage that? And that talk, that entire cycle starts with a different mindset. How do I leverage every person who is coming on to any of my platforms in a more comprehensive way? And how do I make more people come to mine rather than others if the value provided in both the places are one and the same? And there's only one thing. There's only one thing that really matters at this point. If you yourself are presented two different, let's say it could be a mobile device, it could be two different product service offers, which one would you choose? Everything equal, would you choose something that you remember, a name that you recognize, or something that you don't? Obviously, something that you remember and recognize, and that is the power. If you can build a presence in the minds of clients, prospects, that is the only thing that can save you. Well, that's going to emerge. Right now, with the huge increase in the cost of marketing, you need to somehow gain the presence in the mind. That cannot happen if you're present in one platform. You need to be present in multiple platforms, and you need to start leveraging it in much more comprehensive way. So let's say you end up receiving a client. That client has come to you offline. Now, how do you get him online into your Facebook page, into your YouTube video, into your webinar? How do you get him to your email list? Or if someone is an email list, how do you get them to all these other places? You need to start leveraging it by building. Almost it's a process of removing you from the sequence and converting different things that you do into a content. So let's say a client comes to you, and in a normal day-to-day environment, let's say you are doing a consulting session, client comes to you, he asks you a bunch of questions before he signs up. And every time you keep answering that, every single time. It takes you 1 hour. Why not record that in one of those sessions and then give it a smaller piece? For every question, there's an answer. The answer could have been 2 minutes. So that becomes a beautiful piece of content. It could end up being 200, 300 words. It would be a beautiful 2-3 minute video. It would be an awesome slide of 10, 12 slides. You start posting content with a client. I've addressed 10, 12 questions. Right now, we ended up with beautiful 10, 12 core content, which can end up being in hundreds of different places in dozens of different formats. Now, the second time a client comes to you or second time you're about to approach a client, you can actually send him all the links to here are the frequently asked questions. I believe in my time. I believe in value of your time. Here you go. Watch it at your own speed, at your own comfort. Understand it. And then let's speak and let's take it from there in a more productive way. Now, you're leveraging him by sending him to one of your base where you have more audience or one of your content segment where you have more than what he actually needs, then now he can start going from one piece of content to another. And by the time he ends up talking to you, he is already sold on much better because you already clarified most of the questions that he might have. This is purely on the initial prospecting stage. What happens after a client comes to you? You tell him all things, you teach him, you consult him, or he starts using it. You cannot the success of your client because it almost needs you to be personally with them and help them all through the process. If it's a consultative session, you need to make sure that they are using everything that you teach. You need to give them a lot of additional materials. You might not have time to send them manually every single time, and you can see all the things like, okay, your session, and then a mail goes off saying, okay, go take a look at my YouTube video. Action is what is important. You need to act on what I taught you, and only then you'd have your result. And then another email can go on the next day where you give him another SoundCloud audio where you say, okay, right now I know you're going to your office, it's 9 a.m. in the morning, and this is a bad time for me to send you an email, but it's an audio. Keep listening to this audio as you travel in your car, and this is going to teach him about being persistent and having a vision towards where he needs to go. So now you're supplementing your original piece of advice, your content, with all this additional information which can make him more successful than what he would be with just your consulting. So you're making your consulting powerful. You're making your words more stronger by ensuring that he gets a result. And now this is a process where as you work with the client, you make your work easier, you save your time, and you ensure that he ends up getting better results. And then the same thing comes up with other clients. Something else you have. It could be an additional product, or it could be a new course that you're launching, or a real personalized training that you have. Now, even upselling could be in different forms of content where you create a need that he should have or buy something from you for him to do something better. And that can be few pieces of content. The same goes across the entire life cycle. And even if you're talking about exiting the business, if you can just sell a business to someone and say, okay, you don't have to really do anything because I already done everything and everything is in place. It's automatic. It's it gets someone in. It teaches them why and what they should know before they talk to you. And when they talk to you, here are all the materials they need to understand what it is that you do. And, you know, as soon as they come in, it takes care of them. It teaches them everything. And then it upsells them. It's a full-blown, beautiful system out there. And now when you want to have an exit, your value increases, not just because you have all these contents in place. You could even have that in your hard disk and it might not be valuable much, but right now with every piece of content that you send to him in different life cycle of the client, you are sending him to different platforms of yours, leveraging all those platforms, and those platforms would be gaining audience and he would refer people and your referrals would grow. So this changes the way your business would see you. You're almost actually in the center, but not in the center as in you don't have to do everything, but you still are in the complete control of what's happening. It's almost like putting you in a tower control, and all you're doing is just pushing the happening like magic. Everything is so easy, so nice, all happening like magic. That is the leverage. That is the power the content can bring onto the table if used effectively. I mean, if still the mindset is, okay, I'm going to create 3 articles or 5 videos, I'm going to post it in different channels, and I'm going to start doing SEO towards them so that somehow I hope Google picks it up and it puts in the right place. That is a wrong mindset. If you start doing what we spoke about right now, forget about Google. Google is going to pick that up and keep it in the crown because it likes it. People engage. People understand. The context to the content is correct. You're not sending everyone to that. You're sending the right people to the right content at the right time where it works. People don't bounce off. People don't run away. They read, listen, engage. They bring about the life to the content. The content by itself does not have a life. The life comes when the engagement happens. And that comes with the right planning, the right process, and the right strategy. That is content marketing. Anyone still awake?
We're wide awake and we're a little bit speechless, Karnika. Thank you. Thank you. I get really excited. I'm part of me is a show me, don't tell me kind of girl. And I loved hearing the example of the webinar that you were helping this person with, you know, because I think there's a big pain in the marketplace right now. Like, how do we deal with this increasingly rigid organism with only this little bit of fluidity at the edge? I wanted to share a metaphor with you guys just to add this into our conversation because I think it's very beautiful and accurate. Is Buckminster Fuller, who we all know as one of the granddaddies of emergent evolutionary design, one of the greatest thinkers of all times, and who shared the teaching that, you know, when the system doesn't work, you need to build a new system to make the old one obsolete. He also taught that the best way to steer the ship of culture or of civilization itself or of any difficult, rigid thing was to use a principle of a trim tab. A trim tab is the tiny little sub-rudder on the end of the rudder of a blimp. And it's the trim tab that actually ultimately defines the direction of a blimp, which is a very hard to steer, very large, rigid object. And so ultimately, with what I hear you saying, Karnika, about Key Difference Media and 4D Leverage is that it's the trim tab.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Content marketing.
Yeah.
Yes, that's in a lot of ways, it's the small, you know, what's that called? The keel on a boat, you know, that steers the giant ship. And I guess that's a fair way.
It's the sub-rudder. It's like this tiny, tiny little thing that actually makes everything, shifts the direction of everything.
It's the point on the pencil. Okay, I guess we could go
Correct.
On and on.
Go on. There's a physics to it, is my point. My point is there's actually a physics to what we're talking about. And I want to ask another question is how do you see this steering public attention? Like, how do you see this is to look at it from the perspective of the consumer? How is this shifting the way people pay attention to things, the way people choose what they buy or don't buy, the way they behave?
Okay. You got a little bit of, do you mean that what should consumers do with all these changes? Should they change? Is your question that should they change something to adopt to these changes in the marketplace?
Yeah, I mean, when I listen to you, Karnika, I always listen to you from two different perspectives. I listen to you from the perspective of the user and the client, and I also listen to you from the perspective of the business owner. So from a business owner, what one of the takeaways from what you just said is it's now time to create a very deeply pointed, deeply targeted content for specific people and their needs. It's also time to up-level quality rather than quantity. So we're kind of coming out of a time when the game was all about quantity, like throw as much content at the marketplace as you can and you'll get results, right? That was where we came from. We're beyond that now. That's no longer the truth. The truth is that we need quality and we need one-pointed targeting to real needs of real people, correct?
Right.
So that's the business owner's standpoint. From a customer's standpoint, my experience as a user of the internet, internet-based marketing, is that increasingly, like you said, one's attention is flooded with opportunities to engage different things. And how do you see people make, I mean, you spoke about it a little bit, people are making different choices. They're making choices because they actually know their very precise need is going to be met in a given
right.
moment, whether it's a personal need or a business need. But I'd love to hear you speak about that a little more. Like, how do you see people's behavior and choices shifting?
Right. So with all these noise that's appearing there, people by themselves, they're realizing what's happening and they're trying to consolidate themselves. They don't want to end up buying everyone's product. If they choose to buy a product of a brand, they prefer to stick with them, prefer to go more into what they have to offer. They have different products, provided they have some, which many businesses don't. Many businesses don't have a powerful backend. They don't have a lot of content that they can deliver every time someone visits. So that business, otherwise, they would jump to someone else. But once they find that there is someone who can feed them all they want in terms of products to buy, in terms of results they need, in general content to read and get themselves educated, they'll be happy to stick with that one brand. And at that point in time, it's very hard to win. Even if there's a beautiful webinar, they know that they already have a solution at place. They know they already have someone they believe, trust, and like, and it's hard for them to move away from that. So it's almost like in the past, you used to have these loyalty cards, loyalty programs. You used to provide them with these cards and keep them addicted to an offline brand. And that's the same thing that's happening online right now. So how can a business, how can a brand ensure that their clients stick with them longer and keep them fit, not get them fed up with no content there for them to consume when they want it? So consumers, they understand that everyone is trying to take their time, not just the businesses like all these different business owners, but also the platforms. There are so many platforms coming up, Pinterest, Instagram. They were the new things when they came up, but right now they're old and there are dozens of platforms like that. With all these platforms coming and new offers coming every day, they need to make a choice. How many am I going to stick with? How many am I going to engage on a daily basis? How much time am I going to be spending on all this? When do I spend the time on all this? This creates a clear diversified focus for them. So here the word is diversified focus. They're not focusing on one thing like Facebook and they're not sticking to that. They're diversifying but being focused on a type of content. So like they choose one of those to listen to the audios but not both. But the preference depends on what device they use and what they comfort, what they like and what they find interesting. Or there are some people who might just tune in to different types of content, but they'll try to stick to one or two platforms per content type, but you do not know which one it is because it's going to change based on their individual preference. But you need to be present everywhere to capitalize on that chance of them coming to that particular platform. And they're also going to stick to the brand, so make sure that the brands are strong, that you have enough content to feed them on. So consumers, they know that they're wasting their time. They know that it's hurting them. They know that they have a life to lead and they cannot keep spending it on all these different platforms that's taking their interest at one at a time. And by the end of the day, they look at 6 hours are gone, 8 hours are gone, and they have not done anything but read a few blog posts and click on a bunch of links, open more tabs and get their browser hanging, or probably their computer ending screen.
It's so true. I love it.
I love that.
And I see people, you know, it's the effort moment where I think people are just trying to figure out right now how to crystallize, how to refine. There's like an infinite field of choices that are all pretty good choices, but the question is it a precise fit? And I'm watching people across the spectrum of kind of viewpoints socially start to ask that question, require an answer of themselves and of the content they're engaging. So that's very helpful. I have another
question. It's almost like if you want to put that in a metaphor, the best thing to do is just imagine if you have a pet, if you have a dog. I mean, it's a bad comparison, but just imagine for a moment, go with me on this. If you have a dog and it's a beautiful, nice one, and if you take it to a room where there are 20 different food items at different corners spaced out evenly, and you let the dog in the middle, it's going to go crazy going at every place. It would not end up eating anything because it gets excited about the other plate. It keeps running from one plate to another without eating anything up. It might just mess the room, but it might not actually consume anything in the end, and it just gets tired. That's the same is that we are put in right now. We are so beautiful, like a dog puppy. But when we are put among all these different interesting things which we get so excited about, we have no idea what we should do then.
So true. You're full of great metaphors today, buddy. I love that. And this goes back to, some of the things that we have built into our system and things that are unfolding. And as we're moving forward using content in our own way to prospect and do sales with customers, it all comes back to who am I, who are they, and what connection do we have? I mean, understanding that connection and at what level to speak to that connection at, that is to me, and I'm very much more into the construction, like from a writing perspective of the content. I'm much more fascinated by that. And I look at that way a lot of us go about it, and we create so many leaks. I mean, when you start putting your content out there and you start creating a message, the clarity of that message overall and its ability to compel people at a very high emotional level and to truly synthesize with who they are and who you are and make that unconscious connection, to me, that's the magic of magnetic content. It's when you have a system and a way to reproduce that kind of magnetism that you're then able to get the most leverage out of your content and then bring it into your funnel for all the next steps. Which content can also be used. As well, Karnika, where you were talking about, I want to reiterate this point, content, once it's created, has many more benefits and uses rather than just posting it and being done with it. Content that's created with a purpose and around a theme, et cetera, can be used in your sales in order to, you know, just simply sort it and use it as sales support, which then at the same time, can be used in your marketing and all over the place. It can be used in your training of your employees. And if you really, from the beginning, understand how you're going to synthesize with the entire market and what value you're bringing to, for what purpose and to what end, for what cause, etc., then you become much more able to create small amounts of content that are very focused and very agenda-driven, and then A Key Difference Media comes along, repurposes it, gives you access to it. You can then use it in your sales and everywhere else. And what happens is a lot of the disruption that we naturally get attracted by goes away, and we are able to get back to just creating some very, very high-quality pieces of content that are right in line with our original overall theme. You know, if I was to bring you every day the food that you needed and would be happy with and delivered it to your door, you would have a much lower possibility of shopping at the store and buying stuff you don't need, right? What do they call that, spontaneity shopping or whatever? Because you never even go to the store. And it's kind of that same thing. When we're able to amplify your content across the web, give you access to it for your sales and training methods, and create strategies around that where we have defined your story, your narrative, and your voice at the very beginning. It's unreal, all these different, Karnika was painting a picture of content kind of reaching out to different platforms and reaching out to different sales funnels and creating all this stir in your business. And you can start with a very simple skeleton, but with this concept in place, that skeleton can grow huge. And you can scale it ever how big you're going to make your business and still not lose the integrity of a well-crafted message or story. Kind of like, and I always refer to Star Wars, they have the Holocron, which is a big database where the entire Star Wars saga, every book ever written, everything is combined in there. And the main purpose for that database is to ensure integrity across all the content so they don't end up with, you know, Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker dating instead of being brothers and sisters, or some faux-pas that would take the integrity of the entire saga and put it in jeopardy. So our content is kind of that way, and the best way to do that is to minimize how much we have to do on all these other ends. Now, the other element to this is content in our normal way of doing things, is very loose. We don't have a handle on it. Our branding, our links, the integrity of the colors, the integrity of what it looks like across the entire message. If you put it all on one screen, you know, it would probably just look like a menagerie as opposed to a well-thought-out process. Yet, key, when you do this repurposing, you bring that integrity to the process so that now, as a business owner, we can be a lot more savvy about how we leverage the content to shape the future. And I think this is an important piece, and it's kind of the highlight of what I want to get at. Samantha, you know how hard it is to shape new ideas and bring them into this industry and to compel that. I mean, this is really a global movement that still hasn't even found its full tread. So the ability to really put words in front of people and ideas and whatnot that help shape that concept is beyond powerful. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's probably the most important skill of entrepreneurs in the emergent marketplace. And I mean, I don't think it, in some ways that's not changed, but it's the pressure to be that and to achieve that capacity as an entrepreneur is greater than it's ever been.
If you, I think this particular example would make more sense for us. Remember in the industrial age, how the companies were providing employees with everything they need. They provide them with the medical care, they provide with the home if they need be, they provide them with absolutely everything they need to live. They don't even need anything else. They want them to work and focus on work. They take care of everything else for them. And now we are in a position which is exactly opposite to that. It is no, I mean, doing that for employees is more, it's essential so that they're creative, they're part of the organization. But right now, you need to do that for your clients. You need to do that absolutely for your clients. If you're a brand, great, but if you let your clients go out to somewhere else, then probably there are chances they might not come back because every brand is trying to retain clients with them as long as they can. And if the best example is if you look at the Anthony Robbins training programs, he is huge. He is huge because he is an expert in one segment, but he does not try to be an expert in everything, but he works alongside with people who are experts. So he runs all these joint programs. So he started with all the motivation stuff, but then he went on to bodybuilding, business development, marketing, health, and everything. Name them. He went on from one area of life to other, all different areas, relationships and parenting and financial success. He had all these joint venture programs in all the areas, and he built up his huge multi-billion dollar brand. And he was able to captivate his audience for a longer time because all these needs, the holistic needs of a human being, has to be met by brand. This does not mean that the brand to dilute themselves, but there are content-specific strategical areas they can function, coexist, co-create in areas where they reduce the cost. Because, you know, as a business, I have acquired the customers. I have spent a lot of money, a lot of effort, a lot of trying to retain them every single day. And if I can work with one more partner who is similar to that, who is in line with my vision, I'm like right now cutting off my efforts by half, but I'm leveraging and profiting twice. And it's almost like 400% in returns. And doing this as a lifestyle, doing this as a lifestyle of a business, and having more people and more reasons and more values to help the client, it becomes powerful and becomes stronger. This makes it easy for you to be present everywhere, really being everywhere and promoting yourself in the right way with value first and your services second. That makes more sense in the emerging economy right now. If you look at the example of Key Difference Media, from the day we started off, we have been saving every bit of information that comes out. If I speak a word, that is recorded. If I write something on Facebook, that's recorded. Anything that I do, it's almost like there are people who comes up and cleans up. It's like the Men in Black. As soon as I go somewhere, something, people come and clean that place off. The same way people come and gather everything that I do and talk, and they convert that into different content types and use it to share with our huge network of affiliates and resellers, which enables them to pass on to more people, and they pass on to even more people. It becomes easy. No one has to repeat something which has already been said. All they have to do is pass it on. not pass it on. It grows, glows, and you know, it just becomes like a magical progress. You do not know when something will happen. Your content that you created might have gone 10, 15 times, passed on from one to another 15 times, and it might have hit a big opportunity which you had no clue about. You had no idea that someone like that existed, some opportunity like that existed. But somehow, since you were able to replicate your content in an effective way across all mediums, it reached out to someone and they are interested in your product or service, which could be the pivot point. It could be the biggest moment in your business. Content can bring that magic to the life of a business, as long as they're structured in a way content can be leveraged within the ecosystem of their business life cycle.
Karnika, what does the day in the life, like I write, I'm a writer, I'm a blogger, I'm a content sharer. What do you think are the optimal ways to create content? Is that dependent on your business model? Is there a formula for it? Can you speak to that?
Okay. Creating content is purely about preference. Not everyone can sit and write. There are people who can write fluently. That's great. If you cannot write, if you like to just share information via video, just grab your mobile, start speaking. Or if you don't want to be on a video, you just woke up from the bed, just start recording it as an audio. Just do it. Just do what works for you and then leverage it. Hire people to convert that to all content types and share it. If you have time to do it yourself, try to do that. But either way, create content in your most preferable native way of doing it. Don't force yourself to write. Writing does not work for everyone. I have written 6 books and I have never written even one word. I recorded everything. I talked everything in the audio. Audio is the major means by which I write, not by typing them in keyboard. So use any type of content medium that you're comfortable with. Get the content out and find a way either yourself or by hiring someone to convert that to all other medium which works. And you know, if you do that effectively in a way it works within your own ecosystem, then just imagine you might every day spending 30 minutes, you might end up creating few dozens and dozens of content pieces, which is very powerful.
That's awesome. Thank you.
In Key Difference Media, you have a process for creating magnetic and powerful content. And it doesn't matter what your process is per se, though what we have is very powerful. Having a process that leads you to a way to create a framework for the theme and the thing that you want to say, the emotion that you want to convey. I mean, there's some very specific guidelines there, but once you have that and everything that you create leads back to that, that is significantly more powerful than creating pretty and fancy content that you put all over the place in an abstract manner. And so getting that theme and that understanding of what you are driving people to, what is the core product you're driving people to, what is that core emotion you're driving them to, and a whole litany of other things. But once you get that framework of what you're doing and why, and everything always goes back to that, then you get the freedom of being able to just grab your Snapchat and shoot something out there, because no matter what you say, it's always resonating across 5 or 6 specific channels and ways of approaching the product that you are selling. It's pretty powerful to look at it. But here again, there are so many aspects to the content marketing process that if you don't become an expert in each one, well, then that's when you have to get yourself in a position where you partner with somebody, and then that's where you're looking for the absolute best possible partner. And what that brings me to is the idea of pushing a button here that takes us into a few commercials, and then we will close ourselves out in the last 10 minutes of the show. So give us just a moment. We'll be.
Do you have
right
a charity
back.
That's stalled or struggling to find donors or simply unorganized? The Art of Charitable Giving can help you with programs and strategies to boost your leadership, management, fundraising, and marketing. We've turned charitable giving into an art. TheArtOfCharitableGiving.com.
Hey, And I think we should have two commercials on a day like today. Everybody feels like two commercials. Let's go for a
4D
second.
4D Story is an entertaining way to promote products and services in both online and offline environments. By broadcasting a fictional story with characters engineered around real life, 4D Story engages fans and encourages viral sharing.
That's the kind of stuff you can get away with on blog radio, as opposed to if you had a production manager breathing down your throat going, "What are you doing interrupting the commercials with your own little monologue?" I'm sorry. Here's Johnny. Oh, we are going to have an exciting week in content marketing coming up for the those of us that are involved in on this side, and we have a constant evolution that is happening here, Samantha. I mean, our programs continue to get more contributive to the regenerative approach. Our content process, the ability to create magnetic content, to guide clients into magnetic content processes is becoming more structured all the time. And our 4D storytelling and the concept around leveraging some very high-level kind of strategies is starting to unfold as well. And it seems like every time we look at what we're doing, it's a brand new way, a brand new edge. It's more leverage. I mean, it's just ridiculous sometimes. It becomes overwhelming. We sit there and solve problem after problem and then get them into our programs. And I heard somebody say the other day, and Samantha, I'm going to let you just carry us out with this idea. From the evolutionary standpoint, from the regenerative standpoint, from the standpoint that we all need to stand up and own it and do something for the guy next to us, the gal next to us, for the environment, for the things around us to contribute, to kind of flip the 80s on its head and do something in this world that gives back. I heard somebody say the other day that our entire purpose, everything that we should be doing as a holistic and regenerative type of business, is to inspire hope. And I thought, wow, just that approach leads you into wanting to know what people are all about at their core, because that's where you're addressing them, which is that holistic approach. And it leaves you wanting to give back to those to people at that same level, to where you create this connection that nothing comes to you in life. Everything goes through you, and you become a network part of that, to where no matter who you meet, your real job, somebody says, "What do you do for a living?" You say, "I inspire hope." And I believe if we could all get to that place where we are valuable for inspiring hope, and the systems we bring, the solutions we bring to the market, all of those things, when they all culminate around this idea, I think then we have a working formula for us to take this shift that we're seeing happen, leverage it, profit from it, magnify it, whatever, but also contribute to it and make it something that we believe we want our children to live in, our grandchildren, and for them to be proud that we are a part of it. Inspire us with some hope, Samantha, and we'll roll out of this show in fine style.
Thank you, James. I would love to build on what you've said, but I can't. Because I don't think that our job is to inspire hope. I think our job is to inspire creativity. I'm going to use the, and I would love to close out with that.
Awesome.
I think
we live.
Yeah, I mean, hope is a generator for creativity. So if we inspire hope, then we create a fertile environment for creativity to happen. We live it, and to use the teachings of my dear friends at Challenge Day, who are going to be on this call soon, and this comes from perceptual psychology, there's a process through which we become empowered. It is to notice, then to choose, and then to act. I think, so, and hope is the emotional tonality that we want to inspire around that. But we live in a time when, you know, our society has become so complex and we are so inundated with information that is essentially often somewhat worthless to us. Like Karnika said, you can come out 8 hours later and just wonder what the heck you did with your whole day. That we live in a time when our planet is becoming one planet. Our system is becoming literally the reality of all of us being interconnected in one shared destiny for the future of our species and of all of life is being made obvious to all of us. And the shadow there is that people feel radically disempowered. So first, yes, we have to inspire hope. We get to inspire hope, and that is one of our jobs. But ultimately, to me, our role is to inspire the creative spirit of individuals, organizations, and the collective consciousness of humanity to cause our own success and thriving for in a new pattern for what it means to be human beings. I know that's a very big picture framework for what we're doing, but that's truly the place I see it from. It's the place I do executive coaching from. It's the place I teach from, because that high view, that eagle view, is a driver for more wise, better leveraged, more effective solutions that we can't yet see. We don't yet know what they are. We're living in a time of emergence when we cannot yet imagine where we're going, and yet it's our job to go there. So that the keys are to notice, choose, and act. And so our job is to create a fertile space, hope-filled space in the marketplace within which people can notice, choose, and act. And that act is the essence of our creative capacity as human beings. So like my big game is to inspire that creative impulse in a way that has noticed and chosen. So in a way that is wise, informed, and inspired towards a brighter future for all beings. And I truly believe that the content marketing is the vehicle through which we can connect people with their own destiny impulse. It's the vehicle through which we can connect and support people to engage their creativity into the emergent marketplace. That's what we're about. That's what I'm about. And that's why I'm working with you guys. And I'm so thrilled that we got to explore this today in greater detail. Thank you.
Samantha, can I say we're going to inspire creative hope?
No, you could say we're going to inspire hope to generate creativity.
Okay, that's cool. I like that, absolutely. I'm so behind you on the idea of, you know, obviously 40 characters are they are that higher self that you speak of. So I wish I could frame a conversation as well as you do. And I stand corrected. You're right. That is exactly where we're going. And I don't mind because that's clarity that really is empowering, and it's much more defined than what I had said.
Yeah, I mean, what you can count on me for is extreme precision around the implications of our ideas. And our ideas have deep implications. So you can count on me to have generally already thought through from seven different layers and seven different angles exactly what the implications of a given meme are. So you can count on me for that.
And you can pretty much count on me for never, ever being able to form a sentence of such of such power there. So, yes, absolutely.
I can count on you for your passion to create souls that work, James. You are the passionate creator. You are
Yay.
A creator. So you have noticed, you have chosen, and you act. And I can count on you, James, for your creative impulse to make tools that work to continue to generate this emergence that I just spoke about. So I can use you as one of my prime examples.
But for me,
you have chosen and you are acting.
But everybody has that same level of potential within them. I mean, really what this is all about, an entire marketplace is going to spring up around us looking at one another and going, whoa, look what's really here. And when those people show up aware and they've removed that external story and they've truly found who they are and what they are, and a means by which to promote it, I believe that we're going to see all of us get behind, you know, the leverage needed to push us to the next place that we're going to be. And, you know, I told my young kids, 10 and 7, the other day that, actually they're 7, 11, is it? 7-Eleven or no, 10 and 7. Anyhow, I told him the other day, your future, your world is going to be totally different from ours. You, my 7-year-old, may never even drive with driverless cars and Uber and things of that nature. So it's exciting to know that we have all gotten together today and promoted what the future is all about. And if anybody is interested out there in Radio Land, KeyDifferenceMedia.com, and you will discover the starting point to fulfilling your 4D dreams. Thank you very much for everyone contributing to the show today, and we'll see you back here next Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. on the 4D Leverage Blog Talk Radio program.
Do you have a charity that's stalled or struggling to find donors or simply unorganized? The Art of Charitable Giving can help you with programs and strategies to boost your leadership, management, fundraising, and marketing. We've turned charitable giving into an art. TheArtOfCharitableGiving.com.